Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Hey, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and I just nearly took my jacket off, Pat. Lord help, it's hard not to take this off today. I'm glad that there's some scarred hands in heaven today. And the people that die in Christ, friend, you do not have to worry about them anymore. No more. No more worries. No more troubles. They've done what they'll have. Every one of us is going to have to do, and they've done it one time, the only time we have to do it, unless you're unsaved, and then you have to die twice. Tell me which one's a better choice. We have here in Matthew 7, verse number 21, if you found that, shout amen for me. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's plain and strong. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day and this place and these good people. And God, for scarred hands on the other side of the land that we call Beulah. And I'm praying that in this message today, God, you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue, and you'd touch me for your glory. And God, that everything that's said and done be have the unction of the Holy One on it. And I'm praying that you'd save somebody today. I pray that maybe there's somebody here that's backed up on you, Lord, and they need to come. They need to come, God, and talk, have a little talk with Jesus. And I pray you'd use this unworthy man for a little while. And I'll get out of the way, Lord, and I bid the Holy Ghost do what only he can do. I know my inabilities, but though I know my Lord. I bless you for being my God. Now, have your way, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name I pray, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. What we have in Matthew 7, I just got this the other day. From Matthew 5 to the close in Matthew 7, here's what you have. You have the kingdom constitution. This is we have a constitution in America, and it's what we live by, it's what we go by, and here Jesus is giving them for the kingdom, by the way, let this wrap around your mind, for the kingdom, it is the constitution of the kingdom, and it's how it's going to be when Jesus sets up his reign on this earth. This is what you're going to, Matthew 5 through 7, now, it is a command of the Lord, but it is this. It's the law that he's going to go by, and until the monarch sets on the throne, it'll never be that way in this world. Say, well, that don't apply then. We're not in the kingdom. It must not apply. It is this. It is the conscience for Christians. It's what we're to read and absorb, and we live our life by this. Are you always that way, preacher? I wish I could raise my hand and shout yes, but I am not. But I know the one it is. And so, I'm reading this. I tried to preach a few weeks ago on the two ways, and many people are going the wrong way. And then I tried to preach on this, on the two trees, and many have never been grafted in to that tree. You won't make it to heaven until you're grafted in to the right tree. And we know what tree that is. Then we come to this today, I want to call two types. Two types. See, there's one type of person that says, Lord, I've done all these things, but they were never in the will of God. It was that outside the will. What is that? There's no heart change. It's all manufactured in the flesh. And you can't manufacture what God wants. God's already done all the work. All he wants is you. And he wants you, listen, You're not, in yourself, we're not strong enough for God to use us in any capacity in this life. We are not, I don't care how big and strong they are. I read a story from Adrian Rogers. I love that book, Tell Your Daddy Thank You. I put that in my library, I'll never get rid of it. A story from Adrian Rogers, and said they were, at one time this guy professed to be the strongest man in the world, and he come and he done all his demonstrations in a big church, there's a large crowd, and he could do all his stuff, lift all his weight, and here's what he said, even the strongest man in the world needs Jesus. And they had people that come and come and made a profession of faith and said they got saved. I don't know who gets saved or who doesn't. The Lord knows. But he said one night toward the end of the program, they had a boy that was paraplegic, and they rolled him up there in the wheelchair. And he gave his testimony. And here's this broken boy in a wheelchair talking about what Jesus had done for him. A couple nights later, there's a young man came to Adrian Rogers and said, hey, said, I got saved in your crusade over there. And he said, y'all said, it was good. Was you talking to the strong man? He said, it wasn't the strong man that got me. Your strengths have no benefit. He said, but when I seen that broken boy rolled up there in that wheelchair, he began to talk about what the... Where's one of my boys to tag? Take me a lap right here. Begin to talk to them. That young boy began to talk what the Lord had done for him. He said, if the Lord's done it for him, I believe he can do it for me. And in his brokenness, God used that and drew that boy to himself. That's how God works. What we have here is two types. I'll be as quick as I can. The two types that you see in this passage of Scripture is this. Number one, it's those that say. They say. Well, Matthew 15 and 8 said this. said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. They're doing it because it's an expectation. Or what they thought they were, or tradition, as we learned this morning. Or it's what they do. They just go through it. We come to church because that's what, listen, I was drugged to church when I was a little boy because that's what we do. Weren't no, I don't want to go. But then there come a time when mom and dad quit. And when mom and dad quit, guess who else quit with them? Your kids will do the same thing. Don't let them see you quit. Let them see you live. Let them see you die. Don't let them see you quit. Amen. Isaiah, see, this wasn't a new thought. Isaiah 29 and 13, the people draw near me with their mouth, but have removed their heart far from me. So see, in the day of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus is even here giving this Sermon on the Mount, giving the constitution of the kingdom, 700 years before that, what do we have? We have Isaiah the preacher telling them, the Lord telling him, they've done the same thing. You know what the philosophy of America is today? Most of you know. Let anybody do anything they want to do and don't bother nobody, and you'll be considered somebody that's loved. You are a lover and tolerant of all things, and therefore you've done good enough to get to heaven. That's the philosophy. That's a lie from the devil. This passage alone makes it abundantly clear that you're not going to get in just saying it. Oh, you're about to preach work salvation. We're in a Free Will Baptist Church. You're going, no, the only thing, you got to do something to be saved. What must I do? He said, believe. But we have here, then we have them in verse 20, 22, and he said, many's going to say this. They're going to say, hey, we called you Lord, and we done your work. We even cast out devils. We've done a lot of things. problem was, they were just saying. You ever run anybody like this? I've been saved 30 years. Where you go to church? I don't have to go to church. Don't have to go. No. That's exactly right. There's a lot of people that give their right hand to be able to be in the house of God this morning, and they cannot come. Night cometh when no man can work, and they can't come, and that's the way it is. But listen, my good friend, if there's not enough of God in you to bring you to church, how in the world do you expect to have enough God in you to get you to heaven? Sticker shock. Oh, I'm good to go. Went to Sunday school as a boy. Why, Granny had me in there. I sung songs with all the other little girls. I carried money to the penny march. Some of you need to get to work, by the way. We're behind girls versus boys combo. Some of you, hey, we need a few boys around here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come see me after church. I'll explain it to you, Lucy. And we'll try to get some boys. We're out of balance here. All these little, and I love my little girls. We need some boys. And then all these things. I said these things. So, in context of this. If you don't have your Bibles, you're going to need them. In context of this, here in verse number one, here's what he said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, obviously, the only difference is this. Is no, and you can't do it if you don't know it. You can't do, you maybe you're here this morning, you're just ignorant, and that's not ignorance isn't bad. You can't fix stupid, but there's nothing wrong with being ignorant because you can change that. So in other words, so how in the world are we going to know what Jesus is talking about? Well, he had told them, in John chapter 6, you go to John 6 with me. I didn't mark mine either. John 6, you flip over there, and you come down to verse 38, and I want to read to you this real simple right here. John 6 and 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Look here. Here's the answer to the question. Who's talking here? Jesus. I think he got it right. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, no confusion here, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now, if that's anybody else but Jesus, I'm worried about that. But friend, when it's written in red, you can take her to the bank. You still with me? Hadn't lost you, have I? Now that's his will concerning Christ, that what he gives him, he don't lose any. Now let's see the will. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth. Mark that down. So now we have number one, the two types. The first type was this, the sayers, or the ones, those who say. But someone else that you're going to see in this particular passage is those that see. It makes a difference. Why would you say that, preacher? That everyone which seeth the Son, and there's the word, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I didn't see anything in there about it seeing. We read that passage. I didn't see that. You flip over to John 3 with me right here, and I want to read you something. John chapter 3, verse number 3. Here's what it says. Now, I could quote this, but I want to read it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Except you be born again. You know what that's saying to me right there in that scripture? It's saying, listen, I can't know the will until I find myself at the foot of Calvary and come to the Lord. And then you know what? It's revealed to me in living color. Those that say and those that see, Jimmy. Oh, say, can you see? I preached a message on that one time. And Josh Myers' little boy, Timothy, that's been years ago. Every time I see that boy, I'll say, oh, say, and he'll shout, can you see? Now, listen. Look at verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is that talking about? Let Jesus explain it in the next verse. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It would only go to reason that you would have to be born into this world to enter into the kingdom of God. If you had never existed, most certainly you could have never got there. But if you just get here in the natural realm and not be born again by the Spirit of God, you're not getting in. I don't say that abrasively or to try to rub someone's nose in it. No, it's by the grace of God that I'm not headed to hell this morning myself. I'm glad for the grace of God. Amen. How do you know about the grace of God? I can see it. Well, you can't see grace. Oh, sure you can. First you experience, but you can see it. You know what the word seeth there means in John? When I read 6 through 48, seeth means to experience and acknowledge. Well, so I see and I experience that, seeing that, and then I acknowledge that. How did they overcome the devil? By the word of their testimony. Blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. So, now, would you agree with me this morning? Would you be in agreement with us this morning that you can, there's some in that text that say, but there's some in that text that see. Who are those that see? The ones that do the will of the Father. How do we know what the will is? Here's how we know. Listen, here's how we can see. This is how it's revealed, if you would. Number one, it's revealed by Scripture. I get tired of hearing about that Bible. Friend, you got no other hope when the everything will pass away except that book right there. Are you still with me? Not lost in you, have you? Everybody still awake? If the kids are sleeping, Brett, let them sleep on, son. They're doing good. Macy down? No, oh, Lord. Only child I ever had to come to church didn't like me. Casey said, don't worry about it. She don't like nobody. I said, I'm feeling better. Number one, we're able to see by the Scripture. I quote these verses all the time. Jesus said in John 5:39, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Oh. So the Scripture, we know from John 1:14, we know, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know what the Scripture is, and we know who the Scripture is. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, that be us, that were under the law, that we might receive, here we go, the adoption of sons. I'm in there. And nobody in this world, the devil, nobody else can do one thing about it. Praise God, I'd like to kick right now, but I'm in there. I'm in. Don't deserve it. Unworthy and oft sometimes unwilling. And yet, I'm in. Why do you know that, preacher? I don't just say it. I see it. These things have I written unto you, believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You know it? Say, I know it, preacher. Have you got what you got need to die with today? Right there's the bottom. Right there is the line. You're going to die. I just got to tell about Eddie Wayne. I can't help it. I'd go see him all the time. Andrew would tell me, go see him. Go see Uncle Eddie. Would you go see Uncle Eddie? I'd walk in the hospital room up there and Ed was sick. I'd walk in the hospital room. Eddie Wayne would say this. I knew me all my life. All my life. Her daddy gave me my first haircut. I mean, I was raised with these people. I'd walk in the room. Eddie Wayne would say, you can talk to me about race cars, NASCAR, anything else, but don't you start talking religion to me. And he's dying. He's sick. Andrea met me in the hallway weeping. I mean, just profusely. She's weeping. She said, Mike, he don't know how sick he is. He doesn't know. I said, he won't talk to me. And I'm going to tell you this. I walked in that room as cold as an ice cube. I can't explain it, but it felt like the refrigerator door was open. She called me again a few days later. She said, he's back in the hospital. He'd come in, he'd get out, he'd go back. Just how often dying people do. He's back in the hospital. She said, Mike, he's back up here. Come see him. I went back up there to see him again. Same old thing. Walk in that room, cold as ice. He had nothing to say to me. The doctor came in one day, looked him right in the eyeball and said, hey, you're about to die and ain't nothing I can do about it. You ain't going to live. I'm coming back from Cookeville Hospital. Up the mountain, the phone rings. It's Dennis Bilbrey. Brother Dennis said, where are you? I said, I'm coming from Cookeville. He said, come straight to CMC as fast as you can get there. Eddie Wayne wants to talk to you. I walked in that hospital room that day, and I'm telling you, the other times, it had felt like the wind was blowing from the North Pole. I walked in there that day, and my old friend was waiting on me. I felt that warm, peaceful, easy feeling. Praise God, that only the Spirit of God can bring. I walked over to the bed. Eddie Wayne, there's crying like a little boy. He said, Mike, I'm going to die. I said, I know you are, Eddie. I am too. I said, here's the question. Would you like to be saved? He said, will God save me? I said, you know he will. When he started praying and said, Lord, Dennis Milbury looked like one of those rats and one of those turning wheels. He's doing circles in the room, falling down, praying in the floor. And oh, anyway, calls on the Lord. Gloriously saved. Ask me how much easier it was to do that funeral. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You won't get apart. You won't get born again apart from hearing the word of God. And then number two, you see by the scripture, but you see by the spirit. See, it's the combination. It's the 1-2 punch. So here's what has to happen. The Bible said in John 6:44, we use this often, no man can come up unto the Father except the Father with us sent me, draw him. Satan, I've heard you quote that 1,000 times, preacher. I've never felt I've drawn. If you're hearing the word of God today and you'd turn your heart right now to seek God, you'll feel the draw. What is the draw? Here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit is the voice that speaks to conscience. And when the voice that speaks to conscience, remember, it's the Christian, it is the kingdom constitution, but it's the Christian conscience in this. And when that voice speaks to conscience and you know you're guilty before God, I read this morning in that book again. Adrian Rogers about finished it, but I read this and I'm telling you, I just started weeping. And he said, you know, he said, between me and hell was a cross. And I fell on the cross and kept me from falling into hell. That's what it is. When you understand in yourself that you're guilty before God, my friend, we learn that by the not, listen, by the knowledge or by the laws, the knowledge of sin. We know it by the word of God, and it convicts us of our sin, and that voice that speaks to conscience, that is the Spirit of God. For the eye hath not seen, we're not speaking of natural things, nor the ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of the man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What is that? Well, first it's salvation, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. So I not only see by the Scripture, but I see by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God reveals to me that the Scripture is true. And I see it. And I know I'm guilty before God. God said, I loved you so much, I let my son die for you. I wouldn't let Dusty die for anybody in this room but Pat. Nobody. I wouldn't let him die for me. I don't care how much I love you and I care about you. You don't even know what's in a pastor's heart. And Randy and I, you don't know how much we fret and worry and pray and seek God on your behalf. But I wouldn't give Dusty for anybody in this room. I'm not going to do it because he's my only boy. You can't have him. But oh, God looked down and knew a heathen named Mike McCoy was going to need his only begotten son. And the Lord Christ said, I'll go. I'll go. He don't deserve it. I'll go anyway. Amen. And here I am today, unworthy but in the family. The moment we think we're worthy, we're in the wrong side of the tracks. I know I'm going over time. We need the Spirit to reveal things to us. Number three, I see this. Those that can see, we see by the Scripture, by the Spirit. I've used these same three S's in 100 messages, but it just fit today and by the saints of God. I see it in the lives of people. You know, in Hebrews, he said we have some witnesses. It's not that they're watching us. We're to watch them. Someone's got that turned around. Oh, they're watching from heaven saying, come on. Oh, no. No, they already lived their life. They're in glory. They're with the one that's got the scars in his hands. And they're saying this, hey, look how we done it, and you come the same way. How do you know if they are? Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can see it. You know it. I've watched people. I've watched Delmer McCowan. I'm telling you, he's one of the most solid men I know. Delmer's an uneducated man, but he's a professional pastor. Hey, nobody ever loved his people any more than Delmer McCowan. Nobody. And I've watched him. I watched Grandpa Oley. Didn't have two nickels to rub together and raise four kids as grandchildren dropped off at his door at a late age in life. Him working a minimum wage job and somehow making it by the grace of God, God blessing him in what he done. And I'm living proof today that he blesses some of the seed for his servant's sake. Let me tell you, Mom and Dad, get in there and stay there and watch God bless your children. You won't be a yo-yo up and down, in and out all the time. God can't bless that stuff. He can or he'd be a liar. Tell me I'm not going to heaven. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. Here's what I'm saying. You're not a good steward and you're not a faithful Christian if you can't come to the house of God. Hey, some people come to church every Sunday and they're lost as a ball in high weeds. And they're never, why? Because they just say it. Because he said, hey, there's many going to say this. Hey, we're there. I done it. Yeah, but done it in your own strength. You done it for your own glory. You didn't do it for me. Your heart wasn't in it. Brother Gordon preached this morning in Sunday school. When he preached, well, it was good preaching. And his heart, your heart's far from me. It's far from me. Mama, you say if you can't put your heart in it, don't do it. I mean, where'd you get that idea? Whatsoever you take upon your heart to do it heartily as unto the Lord. I guess that's where that comes from. You know what we have? We have an illustration from Abraham to the Apostle Paul of people of the Bible as our illustration and example of saints of God that lived and they were seers and not just sayers. And we watched their ups and downs, and that gives me great hope. But God didn't kick them out of the basket. Some people think they're sanctified above sin. I'm not condoning sin. I'm not. Sin will cost you. It'll cost you. Listen, it'll cost you. The wage of sin is still death. It'll kill you. But you know what we have today? We have Bible people. We have the book and people of the Bible, but today we have Bible people. We have people that are in the Word of God that we can watch. Jimmy Pleasant sends me a scripture every day in a text message, and he wouldn't believe that 90% of the time it's something I'm dealing with, thinking about, or I need at that very moment. I've watched you, Jim. I've watched you. I've seen you stand up over there and lead singing a cappella, no piano player. Half the people wouldn't sing. A room full of grannies, no men in the church, all of them doing their own thing, not being what God called us to do. I watched Jimmy Pleasant. He'd get up there and you'd think, and I'm not for the lottery, but you'd have thought he won it every time he stood up. Hallelujah! Undoubtedly, that's the happiest fella I know. You seen it. And I saw him. Mom and a little boy was Christmas shopping. Mama's so busy running around the store. Store's packed out. Must have been Black Friday. They're running around there like crazy, and all of a sudden the little boy gets lost in the fray, and she can't find him. And she goes back to the last place she'd seen him. Sure enough, there he was. There's a manger scene behind the glass. Boy, isn't this just like kids? And the little boy had his face pushed up against the glass, staring at Jesus in the manger. His mama came and jerked him by the arm and said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Mama, look, it's Jesus." She said, "We don't have time for that. I'm doing Christmas shopping." Lisa, your song, where's the line for Jesus? There's a line for everything else. And I'm afraid. And even in the season of celebration of the birth of our Savior, there's no room for him. There's room for everything else. Place off, sis. There's room for big feast. There's room for football. There's room for whatever kind of recreation we fill our lives with. But when Mary's trying to have a baby, there wasn't any room in the inn. How much room you made for him? Do you say it? Or do you see it? We stand and bow our heads all over the sanctuary. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.